Still a little sick about getting over it.
Yeah, how'd you get sick?
From the shelter.
Oh.
Because ironically and stupidly, I meant we talked about it on the last
You didn't wear
episode.
a mask.
I said, no, I didn't. And I said, I'm lucky I haven't got a cold yet. And you said, where were you getting a cold from? You work from home. I said, well, I go to the
Yeah.
shelter. And then 2 days later,
Well,
the cold
we
was there.
talked, did you wear a mask? And you didn't. Yeah.
Now I'm paying the price.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm finally getting over my cough. It's still lingering, but it's a little better.
Yeah, my cough, it wasn't too bad. The cough part wasn't too bad. It's just the congestion.
Breathing?
Yeah, congestion was horrible.
Yeah.
So much phlegm.
Yeah.
Sucks, and it's been.
I had to go get that drug, the flu drug, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's not a flu, luckily, it's just a cold, so. No,
You tested?
but I don't have a fever or anything. I don't have body aches or anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You gotta still test.
If
You could have variations of it.
I have a flu, it'll go away. If
Yeah.
it doesn't, I'll go see the doctor. But it's getting better,
Oh,
so.
just go rub some dirt on it. That'll work.
I'm just gonna take
Rub some
a.
dirt on it.
I'm doing the, well, I am doing the garlic enema
Garlic enema. Oh my God.
treatment.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you take a piece of gar
I
you
think
take
I'd rather go
a
to urgent care than do that.
you take a
I'd rather pay the
it's
$180 or whatever it is
worth
than do a garlic
it,
enema. Oh,
yeah.
jeez.
Well,
I looked
if you're
on
not into
a.
that, you can just do a garlic suppository. That works too.
Yeah, either one sounds terrible. I looked at the my comic shop order form, and the Philbo stuff already hit, but the Zescope isn't there again. So I'm like, God damn it!
Yeah, I have a feeling they are just doing direct maybe now. I don't know.
Well, they showed up last month, though. Why the fuck would they do
I
that?
thought they weren't there last month.
No, they were. I ordered it.
You sure?
Yes.
I think you're wrong.
No, you're wrong. We even talked about it. Go listen to our goddamn podcast once I post.
Oh, maybe you're right. I have to look at my order.
We were all happy it was back.
Thought that was 2 months ago.
No, it was last month.
Well, what is going on then?
I don't know. Let's see if they have.
Don't like
I
it.
got three, four, five,
I want to look at my last month order.
seven, eight,
January.
nine. So it came back with nine.
Nine what?
I'm trying to see if they have any back stock of the issues I'm missing.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't. It starts back up where I have. Cause you know what I'm really digging? Like I'm really loving and I'm is the Grim Tales of Terror. God damn, it's good.
Oh, tells Jerry, yeah.
Oh fuck, I read the last one and it was like Cryptoid, and it was like a ugly looking Cryptoid, and these like podcasters and whatever, we're gonna go capture this. It looks like a pig, a sad pig, and its tears are supposed to. It's an out. What do they call it? An omega apex? An apex predator. They say it is, but it doesn't look like an apex predator. But it has like tears of acid or something. It cries and it'll kill you. And these hunters slash. Guys went to go capture one. It was a really cool story. I was like, this is awesome. It was great, greatly drawn and
I might have that one.
well
Like, I've gotten the
told.
last few.
Yeah, so good.
Because I started picking that one up too. Because.
I sent my comic shop a letter last month because I was like, Zenoscope was there, but I was like, where's Philbo? And then Philbo showed up. much later. They said it takes a while,
Yeah.
but I want to ask about Zenoscope again because it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Like, why would they solicit it last month and then not have anything this month?
That is weird. But yeah, I don't know what their current model is. I'm not sure what they're doing.
Yeah. Did you order the Private Dance trade?
I did. Yeah,
Oh my God, it's good. I just finished 3 and 4. I really like it. And then I ordered the Private Dance. I forget what it's called. It's like Southern. It's another Private Dance, but this one
oh,
was interesting because it was written by a real stripper. Like,
really?
yeah, it's a real
That's cool.
story. Like, it's a
Oh,
real
it's like a
story.
biographical.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and that probably shouldn't surprise me that he did that. The Pat Shand did that because I
Yeah,
know.
he co-wrote it with her, but she
Yeah.
told him the tale.
Yeah, because he has been showing or getting a table like at adult conferences.
And he probably meets a lot of.
He makes probably more money there than at comic conventions, but he makes a, yeah makes a lot of connections there. And then I think there was a collection, no, maybe not, of one he did with the Fantagraphics dude, Ted Ralph. What is it, Tedesco or however you say it?
Well, he's doing, I forget what they're called, but it's not Cheeky, it's something else.
Yeah,
But
some
him
other
and
imprint.
Tedesco are doing another imprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder if, and they're still associated with Zenoscope, so like I really want my Zenoscope books, even more than the Philbo. Like
Right.
I guess I could go without the Philbo.
Sure.
Except for AC, I really want my Femme Force and stuff like that. I mean, there's a couple of stuff that I like.
Right. But
I read
in terms of
that.
the main publishers we get, Zenoscope's the only one now that doesn't have a home, it seems.
Oh, yeah, it was a Private Dance down south.
Okay. That's the new
So
one.
I guess the stripper's name is Casanova Cart.
Okay.
But it's really good. And then Private Dance 3 and 4, I think, is covered in the first trade, so I won't cover them. But there's like a ongoing story on there that's very interesting. I mean, about a husband and wife, and I'm not going to say much because you want to read it, but it's very engaging. Like, it's like reading a soap opera and you like want to find out what
Yeah,
happens
yeah.
next. And the thing I love about these Kickstarters is, yes, they're expensive, but the single issues are dense. I mean, it takes like 20 minutes to read, and it's not just 20 pages. It's like more, it almost seems like it's like 40 pages
So like a, yeah, like a double
of
size.
content. Yeah.
That's good that they make it give you some
Yeah.
value for your money.
Are you recording, by the way?
Yeah, my thing popped up.
Just making sure because I was using my newer laptop, but Barb took it to Albuquerque. She went to go take care of some stuff with her mom,
Okay.
and she's driving back today. But
So you're in your old.
she took the yeah, I took the old laptop, which it's such a big difference in terms of disk speed because, like, when we hang up, that file's ready, like when I'm done, and then over here it like takes forever, and then sometimes I lose it because it doesn't in what do they call it, encrypted or
Oh yeah.
decrypted properly,
And
where it converts it to an MP3 essentially. It assembles it and makes it an MP3, but yeah, I can't gotta stop
render? Maybe
procrastinating.
render.
Matter of fact, Derek was saying our website is going out. We gotta decide what we're gonna do.
Which website? DC Noise?
Do we want to keep it? Which it's fine. I'm fine keeping it when it's working, but when it gets hacked, I don't know how to fucking get it back.
Unhack
like
it.
sometimes it takes yeah sometimes it takes him week to figure out what they did, but I don't know. I was looking at Podomatic or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which is just, it's not a website, but it just feeds audio files via RSS.
Right.
But the only problem is I don't know how you migrate stuff. Like, you have existing subscriptions, and I don't want people to think we're pod fading, you know what I mean? But if we jump, we may lose our RSS feed.
Right, it wouldn't be the same RSS feed.
Yeah. It seems like they have some kind of transition, but they said, I don't understand it, but it says if you enter in the old RSS and leave it going for 4 months, so there's like a transition, it should move it over, but it doesn't say like how it does it or anything. So I was confused on how it needs it, and
yeah,
why is 4 months safe, you know, like, is it because people
are they saying
you have
4 months to get all the listeners to switch over to the new one, or
no, they're saying it automatically switches people and it should take roughly 4 months to get everybody, but I don't know what the fuck that means.
Would that be based on how many people are subscribed?
Yeah, and I have no
idea.
How
does it even take that long? I mean, it didn't take very long. Nothing in computing takes 4 months to complete.
Well, I think it's because...
Unless they're designing a new RSS feed service.
I think they're just...
they can do that in 4 months.
I think they're just saying it needs it because it routes it and it, like, learns it. I don't know what the fuck it does before you could shut it off. I don't know. Like, it
takes 4 months to re-resolve?
I don't know. It seems like a long time.
It's a long time.
It seems like it shouldn't take more than a day, to me. A
couple days, maybe.
Oh, no more than a week.
Yeah, well,
we'll talk
about that and what other options we have. And what's the current
stop
situation
procrastinating
is.
And get it done, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have a website, but I don't have a lot of space. I'd have to look and see how much it costs for more space.
Yeah, I gotta do a follow up with Derek and say, well, what am I looking at? I know we're looking at like DCNoisePodcast.com, you know, just to pay for the domain, and then we have some place he has
the storage.
And then I really don't understand WordPress or anything because he takes care of all that shit. Like, I don't know when I need to update or what. I mean, I just see it show up, you know what I
mean?
Yeah,
we have to learn the
process. And I don't know it because sometimes you update it and it's all fucked up and I don't know what's going on. Yeah. But yeah, we got to think of something fast. At least we should know our way forward probably by March, if we have through May. Do you know what I mean? At least where we're going and what we're going to do.
Yeah.
If we stay where we're at, we don't have a lot of storage, but we could pay for more. So I guess I have to find out what that Podomatic cost is. And
yeah, we should compare all of our options and then see.
Yeah, I just know I got to do it soon. I got to still buy a computer.
Extra disk space. I can get another gig. That's not enough.
No, we either want unlimited or a lot. I mean, well, it depends. Yeah. I don't know if we want to keep old episodes on or what, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm,
quite sure.
Mm-hmm. How does Patreon work with regard to that? Or Patreon's probably not hosting the files, right? They're just like.
No, Patreon helps pay.
No, I
for
understand
it.
That, but if we were to go to Patreon and say you can get the old episodes if you subscribe to our Patreon, would the files be stored at Patreon, or would they just be linked to another site?
They're linked to something else. The, yeah. It basically is a unlock, like,
right, feature. It's just you can get access to the share.
Yeah, you still post it, but you have, are you paying in the paywall? Then somehow it knows you're in it and you get that extra content.
So they might provide some kind of security where even if you have the link, you can't access it unless you go through the Patreon.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, we'll have to look into what our options are.
I like the other one. It's expensive, but it's almost like you don't have to worry about anything. You just FTP files back and forth, and it takes care
Which
of
one?
Everything. Podomatic.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to look into that one as well.
I read the second issue of that. You probably didn't get it, but The Devil on My Shoulder, that's really good, man.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
That's that revenge story.
The woman.
That's fucking
good.
Yeah,
I'm excited to read that one.
All shit's breaking loose, man. Because she's coming after those five dudes that fucked her up. That left her for dead. And they're all rich fuckers now. You know, they're like...
Yeah, they're crypto bros.
Well, one guy's like rich. Another guy's like a underground gangster rich. One's like a famous soccer player. The other guy is an art dealer, like a real rich art dealer. And we don't know who the fifth guy is yet.
A little mystery.
So it's like... Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. It's good. I'm glad that I got that one.
Yeah. That was Kyle Starks, right?
Yeah. But the art is amazing. It's Peter Kowalski. Oh my god.
That dude's amazing. For sure. I was gonna look up what else he had done, and I never did after we recorded. What a shock!
Yeah, he's good. So, do you want to get started? What do you want to talk about? Did you read Scholes or no?
I started to read it. So I tried to. So yeah. So Mike put on the list the Zandex. Is that it? Zandex.
Space opera.
The Space Odyssey.
Zandex.
Space Odyssey.
Space opera. Oh, yeah,
space opera. And I when you put it on there, as I always do, I see what's on the list. I go through my boxes and I grab the issues, and I could not find this Zandex book. And I'm like, I know I got it because at first, I was like, what is this? I mean, I don't think I even ordered this. But then I looked up and then saw it was Thomas Scholes. So I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I ordered it. So I was looking for it, couldn't find it. So then I messaged Mike last night. I couldn't find it, you know, so that's the only thing I didn't read. No, you didn't tell me it was a trade. I figured it out, right? Yeah, that's what it was. I think I looked again on my DCBS order and noticed it said TP. I'm like, oh, shit, TP. So I'm like, this is a trade. So... I tried to read it last night, but I was tired, and I got through about like the first 10 or 15, maybe 20 pages, but then they started introducing more characters, and there's not a lot of dialogue, so I got lost at who it was who, and I said, forget it, I have to read this when I'm more awake.
It's actually a pretty short fucking story. Like,
it's a lot of pages, though.
It's a lot of pages, but...
Not a lot of dialogue.
It's... A lot of spreads and a lot of not a lot of dialogue and
not a lot of captions either.
It's pretty simple. There's three plot lines, and they kind of sort of link.
Yeah.
And the ending is sort of a little bit ambiguous to me, but and then there's a backup, which he did in a way different style. Sure. Like, it looks very different. It doesn't even look like Scholes to
me. I didn't
me.
Bring it in my office, so I can't look at it right now.
Yeah, it's... It looks like something out of... I guess it kind of does look like him, but it looks more animated. I don't know.
Okay. Well, he's been trying different styles, so like even the main section is like his newer style.
Yeah, what is this one called? Princess.
Okay. Is it for a character in the main story? Like a spin-off
No.
one? No.
It's a
Same
different
universe,
story.
though?
What does he say here? As a bonus, I've chosen to include a previously unpublished story entitled Princess, the Space Princess from Outer Space. This is a comic that means a lot to me, and I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed making
Oh,
it.
that's cool. I like that. So it's just a story that he had done and just never got around to publishing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They threw it in here.
But it's almost like a story of two brothers. There's a character that is kind of like Blastar, and he just destroys shit. And then there's a female space pirate. And it really is like a space opera, you know, like introducing all these
Who
ideas.
is
And
that
then
big like robot guy?
that guy, when he takes off his hat, he's the Blastar guy,
Okay.
like the Fantastic Four
Yeah.
Blastar. He just destroys shit. Like, you never really know, understand why, or there's no like
Yeah.
backstory. It just
Just
is.
is.
The only backstory you really get is the two brothers, the Wolverine
Right.
guy
'Cause it, yeah, it
and
opens with
his brother that's trying to kill him.
he's like Wolverine, but he's also like Deadshot or something, right? 'Cause he has like the
Yeah.
half robot face or something.
I thought it was good. Like I enjoyed it
I mean, your art looked great,
for
so.
what it was. His style is very different than when he started. That's for sure.
Yeah, and then, of course, all the.
But I like that he experiments.
Yeah.
Like I like that he.
All of us old timers prefer his original style, but his
Yeah.
new style isn't that much. I mean, it's still Kirby-esque, especially in the designs of like the robots and the buildings and stuff.
Oh, the space pirate girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's. It's still there. It's just
Yeah,
different.
it's
Like,
yeah.
I mean, there are some panels in this book that look very Kirby-esque. Some of the
Yeah.
splashes. So, like, it's there, but it's. And everything is so psychedelic with him now, it seems
Yeah.
like. Like I it's
And the
very
colors are
God,
all
I
like
wish I
kind of
could
muted.
Yeah, I wish I could get that book, The Witch. I wish somebody was selling it.
Yeah, I know. I regret everything.
Witch Man. Is it Witch Man?
I believe so.
Witch Man. Tom
What was the
Scioli.
problem? There's another witch man.
No, he made some agreement with somebody and they like drafted him, even did all the work. It was pretty fucked up. He wasn't happy about it, but he had a lawyer. It was in the courts and stuff, so he couldn't even say the goddamn title. Like he was being legit and not even saying what it was. The only reason we even brought it up was because I asked him about it. I asked him if I could buy it because I'm like, I missed it in.
Yeah.
It's like nobody's selling it, so I can't buy it.
Yeah.
I only have one more issue of Hawkman, and I have all the Silver Age Hawkman. And I just placed a bid on the Jetsons number one finally, but I don't know if I'll get it. I found one that had an acceptable condition for me, and I made an offer. We'll see.
Oh, okay, so you haven't heard back from the...
Yeah, I had some luck with Metal Man with this Make an Offer.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it again
mm-hmm.
to see if I could get something.
Yeah, you never
else.
Know. You never know if they're what their situation is, if they're like needing to get rid of it or to move it or whatever.
And I did finish my what do you call it? Psyforce, which finished my New Universe books.
Ooh, nice. I need to... I'm still behind. I'm working on it. I'm whittling them down.
I got the two new issues of Unfunny, so I can finish that story.
Okay.
I think
I had all of those.
I finished Blitzkrieg. I think I told you about that. That's
weird. Yeah, tell me about that one. That's... I'm jealous
and
of that one.
I finished AmeriComics, which is an AC book.
Okay.
I finally finished Breathtaker. I think that's only like 3 issues or 4 issues. That's a pre-Vertigo book.
What's it called?
Breathtaker.
Oh, yeah, Breathtaker. I remember that one.
And then Detectives, Inc., I got all the rest of it because I fucking dug it. So I got the next volume and... finished all the appearances of those two guys. But now I want to finish Sensational She-Hulk. I don't know why that came up. And my next order is going to have the rest of X-51, nice. Which is going to help me finish that. And then Crossfire and DNA Agents, I finished them, except for the Dave Stevens covers, which are...
It
cost
me
a couple $100, maybe $300 to $400.
Man, why is the Dave Stevens stuff so crazy now?
Because there's so little of it, and
yeah, I guess that's what
it is.
Fucking
amazing.
Yeah, and he always puts he does the Good Girl covers. So.
Yeah.
Cool. I did get some stuff recently. Well, I went to my comic place again.
What is that place called? Because I think...
They talked about it. Challengers.
Yes, they did. I heard it. And I said, that's the fucker... That's the fucking place that Bill
that's
goes
my place.
To.
It is.
Because the way they described it, I'm like, this is exactly what Bill described.
You're like, this sounds familiar.
And they loved it, too. They were like, this is awesome. For back issues, they were like, they liked their pricing and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, the way they have it set up is pretty cool. I mean, I like their model makes sense, and I like that they exist. So
and that they rotate shit out, like they
yeah
the things that are $10 become $5. You know, they like move.
I don't know if they do that. I don't know if the old like because they have the main room is the $2 comics where they have I don't even know how many long boxes probably. Oh my gosh, how many are there? Like 5 times 3 is 15. I don't know, 15 times. Oh god, there's so many. There's a lot. There's so many. There's more than you could possibly ever go through. It would take you forever to go through all of them. So that's all the $2 stuff. And then they have another room where they have the $5, $10, $20 and up books mm-hmm. in boxes. That room, I don't think they rotate a lot. Because I think it just goes in there and then, you know, as it sells,
until it sells,
replace it. But the $2 stuff, so I think what they do is they get a new, they buy collections all the time. That's their model, right? They'll make people, in my times that I've been in there, I've seen people come in with collections and I've heard them on the phone with people with collections that they were going to go look at the collections and stuff. So they do that and... I think they get the new collection in, they go through it, they pull out anything that's, you know, valuable, grab all the good stuff out of it, and then put the rest in, throw it in the $2 room. But they must have, like, I don't know how many boxes in the back. So at the beginning of every month, they put out, like, I don't know how many new boxes.
like 100 new boxes, yeah, maybe something like that. And to do that, they have to take out like whatever how many boxes they need to take out, and they probably throw them in the back, and then eventually they'll come back in into the system.
Yeah.
And then they actually expanded where now they have a big video game room with like retro video game stuff. So that's cool if you're into that type of thing. But I usually stick to the $2, and then I mean I do go into the $5 and $10 to see if there's anything.
That's where I'd be hanging out, because that's where the good stuff I think would be
that I need there. Yeah, you. I mean, it's a big room too, so they have a lot of stuff.
Should I be in the $20 one? Because sounds like they have a model like that place I like to get at the convention Tomorrow's Treasures, because they like have the $2 books just on the table, and then they have like a $5 box and a $10 box and a $20 mm-hmm. box and a $40 box, and I love that model. Because there's just, like, great Silver Age shit in the higher-end boxes that are, like... Yeah. Yeah, they're not pristine, like a 9.8, but they're, like, easily a 4.5 to a 6.0, you know? So, because that guy's weird. Like, he has no interest in books that are, like, not pristine. He just wants to flip them if they're not, you know, really good shape.
Oh, you mean keeping?
Yeah, it's
them
that guy that his
for himself. I
so
know
his wife
about,
is
yeah.
the one that like stays talking to me for days because she knows Chris Campbell, and we just talk.
Yeah, they're the ones. They have one of the at Heroes. They have like a booth at the very front of the building, premier spot.
And I didn't find them the last time we went until the last day, which sucks because that should be the first day. That I like because that's
stop.
Everybody. Yeah. That's when the good shit's out.
Yeah, the good stuff's gonna go quick, probably. Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. I think the problem is we always veer to the right instead of the left when we get there, so we don't pass.
I guess
them by.
I didn't think that they would be there for some reason because he keeps saying he's gonna retire and he doesn't, and it's the same. It's him. It's him, and then he's got a friend that's an art dealer, and they share a booth, and then his wife. And I like to buy books from them. And then he's good to me because his wife is so cool to me. She's go, here's Mike. He knows Chris Campbell. Can you make him a deal? And so, like, I get a bunch from, like, the $5 and $10, and he says, oh, just give me $300 for this big, you know, and it's, like, $500 worth of books. So it's like, I like this.
Nice. Nice.
I love his wife, man. She's so good to me.
Of course, the only problem if you go there first is you'll be dropping like a ton of money at the very first booth you go to.
That's true, but I usually get like stuff that I really want there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you might as well. I mean, we've learned.
I mean, there's dollar books and stuff that are great, but I guess for my collection, I'd much rather have a Silver Age DC or Marvel than something that's worth a dime, you know?
Yeah.
Later.
It is better for collectability.
Yeah.
From a collectability standpoint.
Like some of that shit. The thing of like Black Kiss I love, but god damn I hate whoever did the binding. Man, I just I struggle with it because mine is coming apart. Like I fucking hate it.
My front chapters are like slid all.
Oh my god! Well, I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it's a manufacturing thing, and I just didn't get fucked. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I almost want, like, if I wasn't so goddamn scared of Mr. Chaikin, I almost would, because I am friends with him on Facebook, I would say, you know, I'm loving your Black Kiss, I really dig it, but whoever put your book together did a shitty job of of binding it, you know? Like, it's just really
Yeah.
bad.
And I have a feeling he knows about it and he's yelled at people
Oh, I'm
over
sure, because he's not
it.
a nice man.
No, he's not a pleasant man, we'll say that. He might
But
be a
if
nice
I,
man, but he's not a
but if, let, let's
pleasant
say we
man.
go to Heroes and he's there, I'm gonna take it to him,
Yeah.
and I'm gonna get it signed, and I'm gonna say, you know, I love this book, but look at the shittiness of it. Yeah, and see what he
And
says.
then hear his story.
And then he'll probably go
Yeah,
off and
mad he
say
was.
that I met this fucking guy at the Comic Con in his panel. He'll be like, he's a jackass crybaby, son of a bitch. But
I want to hear the story of who he yelled at, though.
I get the Black Kiss stuff now. Like, I get what Black Kiss Volume 2 is about, because
It's the history of the characters
but
in the first
well, I
volume.
was telling you last time we recorded, that's Dagmar. And then you were like, well, how could that be Dagmar? Because she was in the present time. Well,
We found
it
out.
explains it.
It does.
But Beverly, she's like changing her name. She's immortal. She's a succubus.
Right. Yeah, she kills her old persona and becomes someone
And
new
she's slaughtering
every
almost every
whatever
guy she
20
runs
years.
into. Like, she'll like say, I'm gonna fuck three guys, and then she like slaughters them like right there. All of a sudden,
During the
she'll put her fucking fist through their heart. She'll rip off their dicks.
bite
Yeah,
off a
it's like
dick.
crazy.
Lots of biting off of dicks.
But in this
Lots of
issue,
dicks getting
it
bit
went
off.
through like World War II, where the Nazis were invading Paris, France. And Dagmar and Beverly, she was going by a different name at the time. They were there, and they were messing with some Nazi soldiers. They didn't like them, but and they would end up trying, you know, killing them. But somebody caught Dagmar, and they killed her. They killed that version of Dagmar. I think that was the first Dagmar.
They
That
did.
they killed her. Well, they raped her and then killed her. And then you're like, what the fuck? Like, how did that happen? And but
Well,
they that happens all.
it was confusing because I'm like, but Dagmar is not a succubus. So how did she how did she survive that long? And then
Well,
she gets killed. I'm like,
yeah, that's
oh,
what. Well, she.
how is
Well,
she
the thing.
dead?
Well, Beverly says that she's dead, but we see that off panel. Like, we think she's dead off panel. We didn't see her die, right? It's
I
just
don't
those
remember
guys
the.
were. The guys said, you know, once we're done with her, we'll kill her. Because they were in the
Yeah,
dungeon and they were.
which issue was this? Which was the first time?
It was issue
Dagmar shows up.
three.
Oh, 306, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she's getting raped, and then they end up saying, we're going to kill her. And then Beverly's like, I miss Dagmar. Like, she was everything. And then she meets
Well, that's
another.
when they put her in
Yeah, the guillotine, they cut her
the
head
guillotine.
off.
They
But
chopped her head
it
off.
happened off panel, so I'm like, is Dagmar still alive?
Right.
Like, I didn't know, but then it jumps to like the 70s or the 50s, and you meet another one, and you're like, wow, that looks like Dagmar. And the thing about the second one is she's like, my name is Sue or something like that, or Kate, and she's like, no, your name is Dagmar.
Yeah,
That's what
your name is
Beverly tells her.
Dagmar.
Your name is Dagmar. And she's also the same build as the previous Dagmar, so she looks like her.
Yeah,
And they go off
Chinese.
and still do their business, and they're killing people in California, because they introduce
Right.
the Mickey, you know, like Disney, right? They call it like Mosby World or
Mosby
something,
Land. Yeah, Mosby
Mosby
Land.
Land. And they kill three of those dudes, and then she starts aging. Like, you see it jump to the 70s, and you're like, wow, Dagmar's getting older. Like, you could actually see that she doesn't look as young as she used to. And
Yeah.
Beverly meets another guy that, or another trans lady that's
Well,
like Dagmar.
I think you mean the New York one?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause, well, I think it was a like a non-binary person who was friends with Andy Warhol,
Yeah, with Andy Warhol, that's
right?
right.
And
Because Andy
then
Warhol said something like, "This is my." I can't remember how he introduced her, but it was not a is a very derogatory term.
yeah,
I
and
don't
the kid,
remember the term he
I think
used.
the kid's name was Peter,
Oh, it was Peter.
and they were kind of like effeminate, non-binary person, but they kind of knew who she was, right? Or they knew who Dagmar was in her.
Yeah, they knew who Dagmar was, but
Yeah.
then later Beverly Moose puts the moves onto that. I can't remember her name, and says, "Do you want to go with me?" And she takes Dagmar's place. So it's like pretty fucked up. Like she doesn't. It's so weird because she's immortal, and I think she has zero intention of ever turning Dagmar, whoever's Dagmar
The
is,
new Dagmar, yeah.
into a succubus like she promises. Like she promises immortality but never turns anybody. And she just uses people. Like she's not good. But now we know like how Dagmar was in the presence,
Yeah.
world, and
And in the past, yeah.
why they all look the same, because
Yeah, she goes for that
she
look,
wants
yeah.
that look that looks like herself. It's so odd. It's so weird. But it was really good. Like once I get going on that story, I'm like, I kind of want to finish. But then I start looking at the pages falling apart, and I get really discouraged. It's like the second part, I'm reading on a table now, so it's not like falling apart. But that first few chapters, man, it's like the bottom part lost the glue entirely, and the top still has some, and it looks terrible.
It's interesting. Like mine, it's coming apart, not like the first chapter. It's like a few chapters in, like maybe like chapter 5 is the worst.
Yeah.
It's a weird pattern that's forming. But the later pages haven't done that yet. Like the middle is okay. I wonder what's maybe at the end. I'm guessing the end's gonna do the same thing as the front.
Yeah. Did you have Axie Cab?
I did have Axie Cab. Yeah,
This one was cool as shit.
this is
It
a retarded.
almost looks like taxi drivers that are in Baltimore, man. It's kind of scary. But this was Antarctic, but I didn't think it was because there's nothing on the top of the cover that w says Antarctic. So when
No,
I got it,
I think it's one where,
I
'cause it's
saw
like,
Nelco
yeah,
Comics.
Nelco Media. I think that Nelco must have brought it to Antarctic and said, "Okay, can you?" Or I think Antarctic has a program where you can publish through Antarctic, something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's copyright the Nelco Media.
Dropped some comics on the floor. But I just remembered I have Gigi outside. I wonder what she's fucking doing. Oh no, she's inside.
You
I got scared.
gotta keep check. You're the
Yeah,
only one there.
I know. I
Uh-oh.
got paranoid and I was like, I left her out there? Yeah. But this one, artistically looks badass. Like I
Yeah,
love the cover. I love the art.
I like the art a lot as well. I thought it was really good.
It almost has like a Temple Smith looking, like not like his art, but like the style of the way he draws, but not you, like it doesn't look like Temple Smith, but the
Right.
way it the line
It's
work
like,
looks.
yeah, it's like Temple Smith if you had someone else doing the coloring and not Temple Smith.
Yeah.
It was just traditionally colored.
Yeah, the first one, it's like This cab driver has this mechanical engineer like build out this badass taxi, like makes it bulletproof, does all kinds of like flame throwing shit and chainsaws on it and all kinds of stuff, and you're like, well, what is he
He
doing?
has him do it against his will because he has the guy in like in a cage.
Yeah, he's in a cage. And he goes after, he picks up this guy with this younger woman who's a warden.
Yeah, the
And
prison, yeah, prison
I
warden.
guess this warden guy let off three killers just to make a lot of money, called the
Well,
Scolari
they're, yeah,
brothers.
mobsters, yeah. Yeah, got paid off to let
Yeah.
them go.
I like their names too, because it's Murder, Death, and Keel, Scolari. But there's, it's not spelled like murder. It's like
Yeah.
MERDER. Death is spelled DETH, and Keel is KEEL. So all these, brothers
Yes,
are there.
interesting name, interestingly named murder.
So he captures the warden and like he electrifies him in the back seat, and then goes after the killers.
Yeah, I like the guy. He has like spinning blades on the side of the cab, and he just like drives past him on the street and chops them into pieces.
Well, it chops him at like the like where his breasts are, and then right through his skull.
His head. Zip, zip.
And then the other guy, he just like blowtorches, like he smokes him and turns him to ash. And the other guy, he runs over.
Yeah.
And then he electrocutes the warden.
Oh, that's right, because it was when the cab reaches 88 miles an hour, it's gonna
Yeah.
electrocute the guy. And that was a great, that's a great page when he gets electrocuted. Like
Yeah.
art wise, is awesome.
This book surprised me, and I didn't even know it was Antarctic until I flipped to the back cover. Like I, there's nothing here that
Oh, that
indicated
indicates
it
it.
was Antarctic.
Yeah. I think I saw it in the on the first page, just in the copyrights.
Oh yeah, it's there in the Indicia.
Indicia. That's it.
I guess Dave Hutchinson had a variant cover. Just looking at the credits.
Yeah, I think
This one looks very like EC design to it on the cover.
I think it might be the there's like a full a page of art like in between the stories. I think that might be the it looks like Hutchinson art. So that might
Let
be
me
the
see.
alternate cover.
Because the next one has like a radio DJ. I forget what he calls himself, but it's like Axie, not Axie, but Axie FM.
And
I don't see that
that's
page.
like the
Oh,
crypt
yeah, I see it. I
keeper.
see it. It's right in between where the kid is like holding a toy taxi.
Yeah, I'm guessing
Yeah.
that's the alternate cover.
In the second one, he goes after a coach.
Yeah, he picks up a swim coach
That guy's fucked up,
from high
man.
school. That
He's killing his students.
was a little unrealistic because I'm like, if he's killing students, don't you think eventually they're like, why does everyone in your program drown?
End up dying, drown. Yeah, it's like pretty messed
Like,
up.
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? I don't know how it's happening. Keeps happening. Bad luck, I guess.
Yeah.
But he, yeah, so he filled up the back of the back seat of the cab with water, like it was sealed, and it was like water with hallucinogen in it, so it made him like trip out and see things.
That was a real surprise. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I really dug the art, and I like the premise of it,
Yeah, it was like
It's
it
like
was it.
I could do some more of this.
Yeah, and it has like a Tales from the Crypt kind of host,
Yeah.
like a zombie looking dude. But it was, yeah, both stories were really, were good, and the art was really good. So, yeah, I quite enjoyed it as well.
Did you get to read Nut?
I did read Nut.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that was something.
It was nasty, man.
This was so fucking nasty. This is like, you turn the front page and it's nasty. It's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's the art is amazing. Like, I think the art is fantastic. It looks very underground. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's by a company called Church Ghost. I don't know. This is one that you pointed out in our order.
I did.
I don't remember how you ran across it, and you said, this looks interesting.
Yeah,
it looks so interesting. I had added it to my order later.
Yeah,
and I guess I didn't expect it to be as vulgar as
I had no idea
as it turned out to be.
I thought it was going to be like kind of like, you know, crime, like vengeance.
Well, I thought it would be like outlaw comics.
Yeah, like an outlaw crime type thing.
Outlaw comics crime.
Yeah,
but what it turned out to be is like a cop that all he can think about is a very perverted cop that just. Thinks
about sex
assholes and stuff all day. It's like Susie Uzi, the Gape Queen.
I do like.
He doesn't get a goddamn thing done.
He's terrible. I like on the first page. He gets to the crime scene. There's a dead body. He goes, yuck. There goes my morning wood. You fucks owe me a boner.
Oh, and he tells that to his boss. That's pretty fucked up. And then he gets the driver's license of Susie Ooze.
Yeah, Susie.
It's my all-time favorite Gape Queen, Susie Ooze. And then he's talking about mommy, daddy, daughter, masterpiece.
Yeah, and he goes to the... He goes to the mom, who's also a porn star.
Looks like he gets a blowjob there. Dang. You'll need to identify the body as he's getting a blowjob. And then he has some anal sex with her.
But then he wakes up.
This is so bad. He's fucking her from behind and says, she's gone, Mr. Ooze. Miss Ooze. It says, but I just fisted her this morning. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's we might have to edit that out.
Derogatory terms.
There's stuff in this book we cannot repeat on the air.
It's awful.
Or we'll get canceled. This guy. So the second story is pretty funny though, because he's riding around on a police horse and it's giving him a boner.
Yeah, and some kid says, "I need help," and he doesn't help the kid, obviously, because he's too busy with the horse.
And there's a van coming to get the kid. Yeah, so the kid gets abducted. Well, he's getting off on the horse.
Yeah, and then it introduces another detective, right? Isn't she a detective?
Yeah, I think so.
Special Agent Ellie Westcroft, and that turns into a hot, hot steaming pile of sex. I do like the two-tone colors, though. It's not often you see, like, a blue tone on grays. Do you know what I mean? It's usually red or something like that.
Yeah. Or gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's black and white and blue.
Blue.
I guess that's because it's the police.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see any more of Church Ghost. Did we get this from... Yeah, we got this from My Comics... DCBS. If we ever try to sell this, like, I don't know how you would sell it. It's such an illegal... It's so bad. I didn't expect it.
I did.
Excuse me. Hang on. I got to cough.
So.
Okay, I'm back.
I do have Mark Spear's Monsters, but you might have read that a long time ago.
Yeah, I read it a long time ago. I was going to pull up my notes for it. I was surprised you hadn't read it. I thought you were reading it already.
No, I haven't. Or else I would have picked it because I really liked it. Like, I thought it was just going to be like a superficial art book, but it was deeper than that. Like, there is a really good story about, like, monsters in the present time and, like, Dracula, and it shows him building up and
dealing with
the Van Helsings, and introduces another character. I thought it was phenomenal. He has a very, like, realistic art style. Like, I wonder if he's like takes photos and then adapts the art from
the photo. I need to look up how he does his art. I'm curious. I wonder if he does it like what's that dude's name? Brorns? Is that
BJORNS?
No, the dude who does the Spawn covers. But
John Borns or something like that. Yeah.
Because he does 3D models.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the same thing or if he... I don't know how he... I'm very curious about how he does his art. I don't know if he...
His Dracula, I mean, if you look at like his flashback... Those guys look like a lot of actors.
The
flashback of Bela Lugosi and some of these guys, they look so fucking familiar.
Monsters. Yeah, I had the same thought as you when I read it. I wasn't expecting much in terms of the story. I knew the art was going to be beautiful, but I wasn't sure about the story. But yeah, I thought the story was actually pretty well fleshed out. Terms of the universe.
This one guy seems like he's a vigilante that's going after Fat Tony, and that's like in present day in Chicago, Illinois. And then the guy draws a gun on him, and he kills a bunch of people. But somehow he's going after like current day Dracula, I think.
Okay.
And there's the werewolf at the end of the book. But I had no idea this was as good as it was. Like, I got cover E. So, like, it has the Bride of Frankenstein on it. It's a beautiful cover. I always go for the women.
Yeah.
If you hadn't guessed. But there's a lot of good covers on this. I think it was a Kickstarter before it became a Keen spot.
But, oh, was it?
Yeah. I think there were like thank you to all the people that supported it in here. There was something I read. But man, it made me want to go to the storage unit and find all of them. And I didn't expect that. Like, I had pulled this aside for a geek brunch. And you know how I'm going through those boxes that I told you of unread stuff, trying to get stuff out of my living room?
Yeah.
It was in there. So I pulled a handful of books out, and I read a bunch of them. I finished Under Heist, and that kind of
I wanted to like that one.
It didn't impress me. Like, the first issue I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then where they went with it, this was the Laugh-Ums that did it. I just didn't dig it, because it seemed like it had a good premise, and then it kind of just meandered for the rest of the, your basic, are they dead? Are they not dead? Are they, what is happening? Is it real or is it not real? Are they in some kind of like purgatory and this is happening, but it's like a weird, and I can't remember the other thing I read that was much better, but yeah, I've been going through those boxes. I read The Human Fly. I wasn't too impressed with that. The IPI comics.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have.
Because I like
Number one on that.
I like the Marvel one. So I was like, okay, they're taking this character who's a stuntman and they're going to do something with them. But it wasn't bad. It just didn't like rock my world. And that Grim Tales of Terror number 12 was badass. The Squonk. Like, I really dug that. What did I read last week that I read some other Dark Horse title and I can't remember. But I could easily go to my posts and figure out. We still have to cover Savage Dragon and the War Books.
I do.
Oh, I read Red Coat. God damn, I love that book. Son of a bitch.
You do love that book.
It is so fucking good. And it like has like historical references in there. So like I actually go do research after I'm reading it to say, like, I didn't know much about Johnny Appleseed, and I was like, oh, Johnny Appleseed's in here. I want to learn more about Johnny Appleseed. And it was crazy. I mean, I was like, did Johnny Appleseed ever have kids? And is like, no, he basically sworn off women because he believed if he died that he would go to like a heaven and have multiple wives if he stayed a virgin. It was crazy. Like, I
Oh,
was learning
yeah.
all kinds of crazy shit. It's because Red Coat is so goddamn good that it just triggers, like, I want to learn more. Like, it's crazy. I read Transformers number one for the first time. God dang, that was, it took me like 45 minutes to finish. It was so wordy. But like overall,
But number one of what?
of the Transformers Marvel
Oh, the
series,
Marvel stuff. Okay, yeah.
yeah, they just reissued it as a Skybound, and I
Okay.
read that issue, and I hadn't read it before, even though I own the first four issues.
Okay.
I never read it. It's
I think I
weird.
read it, but
I like
like in
looked
the
through it and
I
I
think I
was
read
like,
it in the 80s, so.
I was like, I don't want to read this. But if it wasn't for the like 2-page panels of showing every goddamn Transformer and introducing them all, I think it would have been a much better story because those were so annoyingly evasive. Like, instead of like naturally introducing them, he would draw all of them, and then they would be talking to each other and cap, like, it was terrible. But overall it was good. Like, the theme and the why they're on Earth and why they
Yeah, the
went to
overall
battle with
story, yeah.
Cybertron, that was really good. I finished War of the Bounty Hunters. That was fucking awesome. It's basically that there was a time after Boba Fett brought Han Solo to Jabba that they stole this Crimson Dawn. People stole Han Solo's body from Boba, and all the bounty hunters were issued a reward if they killed Boba Fett. So it was really cool story. Like, I was like, wow, that's fantastic. And then I what else did I oh I've been reading this digitally, but I'm following it. I decided to sit out Age of Revelation. It was affecting all the X-Men books, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. But because it's on the app now, you can follow. One thing that's awesome about the app is not the DC app, but the Marvel app. You can actually not just follow a title, but you could follow an event and then read it in like event order of the way how it was published.
Oh, that's
And
nice.
that's how I'm reading this event, and it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Savage Dragon was fucking awesome, and it was so good to see it again for sure. Like,
I know, it's been too long.
I get, like, he in the back matter he said he just needed to refresh his brain. Like,
Yeah, he's getting
he
burnt out.
every now and then he needs to like step away, and that's why he did Spider-Man Noir, and he's been doing covers for Marvel. which I've been every DCBS order I search for Eric Larson
Yeah.
and Todd McFarlane, and I see all these
See
covers
what
and
covers you can get.
I add them to my list if they're not like specialty covers. Savage Dragon, number 278.
And I love that first page you get Popeye.
Yeah, I really dug the Popeye stuff, and like even when he's talking about olive oil, and he's telling the kid, she's got big feet. He like
Yeah.
doesn't care about that she's out with who's
Ham
the guy?
gravy?
Ham Gravy, who's a real
I
character
figured it
that
was.
Olive turns to Ham Gravy whenever she's trying to make Popeye jealous, or
Yeah.
there's kind of like in a separated state. I love how he just says, Olive wanted me to cut the rough stuff and be more of a gentleman, but blow me down when some big lubber gets me in the face and starts giving me the biznick. What I'm supposed to do? Buy him a bicycle? She's got big feet anyhow. And they're base. It says, "What are you doing?" And he basically says, "I'm watching people because the lifeguard doesn't give a shit and seeing if they're swimming okay." And there's this one guy that's swimming and he gets pulled under. And that's when what is his name?
Tyrone.
Tyrone. That's when Tyrone jumps in the water.
Yeah, I should say he on the pier he was sitting talking to Tyrone.
He jumps in the water and they find like a bunch of creatures from the Black
Yes.
Lagoon kind of thing
Yeah.
underwater, and they're ripping this guy fucking apart.
They are. So Popeye and Tyrone go down and start fighting them underwater.
Guess I didn't realize these sea creatures, you they have penises.
Yeah, they're. Well, that's the fun thing about Eric. Because obviously they're sea creatures, so they're going to be. They don't have any clothes on, so. So you can see their junk. You can see their bits.
I love that Popeye is like, fuck these guys. They killed this dude. Let's just go back underwater. And Tyrone is like, we think with your fucking head. We can't breathe underwater. This ocean's huge. We don't even know where we're going. And he's like, fuck this. Let's go. And that guy did die. They didn't save him.
No, he was, yeah, he's well dead. He has his guts pouring out.
And then I love how Dagwood shows up. Mickey Mouse pulls over Tyrone and gives him some shit.
He's yelling out about him because he's getting sued. So lawyer up, rat fuck.
It's interesting too because I forget what this Disney creation is. He's the big bully guy.
A big hat looking dude, yeah.
Yeah, but he's actually a character.
Yeah, I've seen him before.
I
He's
think
the
he's
bad guy
in.
in
I think
Disney
he's
stuff.
yeah, he's the bad guy in whatever Mickey was originated from.
Yeah.
A Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
I think he's the bad guy in Steamboat Willie. But he goes to beat up a kid. Like he's like, you can't. You could try to beat me up. Everybody's filming this. Go
Yeah.
ahead and try it. It's just interesting and ironic that this happened with a manga guy beating up kids or going after kids in his truck. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, they beat the hell out of him. And
That
then they
was awesome.
caught him the
I wish
next
they beat him
day
up.
and he was arrested.
They
So,
would.
yeah,
And
that's.
the funny thing is he like shaved his head and shaved off his mustache to try and disguise himself.
Yeah, but he probably didn't get rid of his truck, and they fucking took
Yeah.
p pictures of his license plate and
Yep.
everything. This is a dumb motherfucker. But
Dumbass. Yes. Do not get out of your car to push around
it's
little
that's
kids.
what's ironic because this is what it was kind of like poking at, and this was before the incident, obviously.
Yeah.
And then Dagwood from Blondie's there.
It probably would have been the same too, though, because if that cat dude had started something with Tyrone, Tyrone probably would have kicked his ass.
Yeah, this guy says I'm a real star. This is I thought this was playing off the guy that played Superman in Lois and Clark, that actually went to go work on the ice for ice. I forget what his name is, but
no, I didn't know he went for. I knew he was a MAGA guy, but I didn't
yeah,
know he went to.
He went to actually work with ice. This is what this guy. You Janus reminded me of. He says, I was on season 32 of Destination Island. I'm a real star. He says, nobody cares, and I never said I was famous, but at least people recognize me. I don't have to go around telling people that I'm famous. And Dagwood gets involved. This was such a fucking good issue, and I missed it so much.
I know, it was
did,
so nice.
Did you see the splash that he drew of Malcolm fighting the Russians?
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome. And it's crazy how, what is his name, Pete, is now has the full fin. He looks like classic Savage Dragon.
Oh, yeah, Paul, yeah.
Paul, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, Eric always seems to put in a nice double page splash in every issue.
And what is it's her always name? Amy? She's fighting, and one of those Russian guys just like ripped off her shirt.
Oh, Angel? Is that
Angel. It is Angel.
Yeah. I know. You can see her a little bit of her titty.
Yeah, that's right. It's weird because Malcolm has like Super Patriot strapped to his back. Did you see that?
Oh, and I didn't notice that he was strapped to his back.
And Super Patriot's son is fighting in the
yeah,
background.
In the background. Oh, yeah, I didn't notice Super. Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, he's like a backpack.
It's like a backpack. It's fucking crazy.
I didn't know he was still alive.
I fucking love this book. Like, it just.
I know. I wish it could come out monthly.
Well, I wish it was more popular than it is because. It's just, it like he even says at the beginning, he says, this issue is extraordinarily late. The truth is, after having toiled away on this book for 33 years, I needed a break. In the interim, I wrote Spider-Man Noir miniseries for Marvel and drew a few covers for this and that. Sometimes I just need to do something else in order to recharge my battery.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some good letters in here. I almost want to write a letter. Just... I've never written a letter to a comic, and
you could say this is my first time. I've been reading comics for.
No, it's the first. Yeah, this I've been reading comics. Years. I have 103, 106 now, 1,000 comic books. Oh, and
this is my first letter.
It's my first letter. I just love comics, but Savage Dragon is always on top of my pile. Like it's.
Well, like there was one letter from a guy who works in a comic shop, and they had a customer who didn't pick up his pull list. Like, he ghosted them basically, so they had his pull list, and one of the things he had was Savage Dragon, and this kid who worked at the store had never read Savage Dragon, so he read it, and then he got hooked on it.
Yeah.
He read the issue, and he's like, oh shit. So now he's like, so now we carry one issue for the shelf. Yeah. It's like, I'm getting it, and I also get a copy for the shelf.
And we had two backups that I actually liked. I thought they were pretty good.
Oh, the man, Angel, the first one was
Angel
hilarious.
Frank, yeah. And the Mr. Gloom and Angel Filled Wake, that was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Was that art by Jim Rugg on the back? Is that
Yeah,
the signature?
Jim Rugg, yeah. I wonder if that was like a commission you did or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just sent it. Maybe you just drew it and sent it to Eric.
Yeah, what a great issue. That was a 5 out of 5 for sure.
It always is. It's like coming home.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So we read two War comics from the War the Big Five Arrive. the DC book. And we
did.
It was GI Combat, I think.
Yeah, there was a GI Combat. And what was the other one? Sensational something or another?
GI Combat number 44, which has like a, I forget what they call these covers. They're like painted gray tone, or I don't know what they call them, but
it's like a pulp cover.
Yeah, it is. It's a guy parachuting down with a shooting. This story was very interesting to me personally. It's called The Eagle and the Wolves. Because of these, are they Mongolia or where are they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, somewhere in.
So there's a MiG and a U.S. there, pilot fighting over Mongolia. And they both shoot each other down, but the guy parachutes out. Mm-hmm. And he lands in front
of American,
a bunch of Mongolian soldiers. And they're going to kill him. And he basically just hits They're on horses. But he grabs the swords and starts fighting like a madman.
Well, first he smacked one of the horses and it started to run, and he grabbed onto the dude who was riding the horse and like pulled him off the horse and took over his horse.
Took over his horse and grabbed his sword.
Yeah, grabbed his sword.
And then went over after the rest of them, and then he gets rescued.
Yeah, the helicopter comes.
And the other one was a short story about, called An Inch of Sand. The helicopter pilot's
like, what happened to your plane? He's like, I traded it for a Mustang. Mustang.
An Inch in the Sand was just it's kind of like an emotional story that, at least to me, it meant something.
Yeah, story of sacrifice. Yeah.
It was a story of sacrifice of one soldier, like just to move stuff. They're basically trying to go on an island, and they're not making any progress.
Right, and they have like planes, they have ships.
Yeah.
They have soldiers wait on ships waiting to board to get on land, and they can't. No one can make it on land.
And this one guy
sneaks on, onto land
and throws a hand grenade.
Yep. And then that allows everyone else. He dies, but it allows everyone else to get on the island.
It was well told, wasn't it? The way they authored captions.
Yeah,
that it was kind of like emotional to me. I don't know. It hit me a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it. Who wrote that one? Let's find out. Robert K. Haniger.
Haniger is amazing. That guy's
wrote the first one. He wrote the first one too.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, apparently I like him because. I like both of those.
I've been here before. This was a similar tone of something we read before, which is a guy.
This is so similar to that other story.
Yeah.
It's so similar. I'm like, wait, did we already read this one? Did they reprint it? But I'm like, no, it's different. It was actually maybe a little bit better. Same concept, kind of.
Yeah, it's the same concept of him imagining himself playing war as a kid. And then being in there, and it's like deja vu, right?
Yeah, he has deja vu in the war. Yeah, because it's like the games he played when he was a kid.
This tank one I fucking really enjoyed, but I don't know if you've been seeing all the movies I've been watching lately, but there are a lot of tank movies.
Yeah, you
watch
a lot of tank ones.
Oh, my God.
I read this. I'm like, oh, Michael, like this one.
Holy shit. Yeah, I just thought this was fucking badass because as this guy's going through the mission, the tank is falling apart. Like, they lose the turret, they lose all kinds of pieces, and it just keeps on going. And it's all about,
it lasts longer than any of the other tanks.
Yeah, it's all about, like, nicknaming your weapon. And that's how it starts off, you know, people, like, nickname their tanks. Like, one guy says it's Battling right. Baby and Texas Kid and Blockbuster.
Hitler's
He's got
hearse.
His gun named Slugger. But... God, this was a great story. I just love the art. I love how they went after that. Was it a Tiger or was it a Panzer? A Tiger tank, a German mm-hmm. Tiger tank. He essentially rams it. I dug that story. That was cool.
He did ram it.
Star Spangled War Stories number 53. I found this story very unusual. The combat close-ups.
Yeah.
I just thought the premise was so fucking bizarre.
Yeah, it's about a boxer who doesn't like to engage in fights, so he like stays on the outside and does jabs and stuff, but he never goes inside and goes toe to toe because he's, I don't know, he doesn't like to do that for some reason. He's afraid. Yeah. But then he goes to, then he gets drafted. Or no, he joined. He decides to join. Yeah, he decides to join the Marine Corps because to toughen up.
But they give him a pilot job, and he wanted to be on the ground. Yeah. And so he volunteers for every single flight that he can possibly do just to get in combat mm-hmm. mode so he can fight in close-ups.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. He goes through his whole military career, doesn't get in one fight.
Never.
And not the paint is like brand new on his plane. Nothing's wrong.
And he gets through it quick because they're like, wow, you have enough hours to...
You're going home.
Yeah, you can go home. You've fulfilled your mission. He's like, but I haven't gotten to a fight. But then the base gets attacked.
Yeah. And that's when he jumps in his plane and starts to engage.
Yep, he finally gets to engage. And did he just drive, like, he's playing chicken with the other plane. Did he just drive right through it?
I think he shot right through it, or else he would have been dead.
Yeah.
And he says, now I learned close combat. Like, now he can make a ring the size of a postage stamp. Yeah. So when I go back, I just thought that was like a weird story, like very weird.
Now he's ready to fight. Yeah, I mean, if your fear is close combat, there's probably other ways to get brave. Or maybe just quit boxing. Find another sport. I don't know about joining the Marine Corps. And how did he become a pilot? How do you join and then want to be on the ground, but you become a pilot? It's like you don't accidentally, like, because you have to go through training to become a pilot. You don't just get... You can't just become... They don't just say, hey, we're just going to sign you to pilot.
I found myself an ETO. I don't know how he got into it. I told him I wanted hand-to-hand action, and they sent him to the plane stuff. Yeah, I don't...
I don't get that either.
Battle Anchor, this was... We've seen this kind of thing, too, about, like...
Yeah, the story of
inanimate
object. Yeah. Yeah. From their perspective. This is the perspective of an anchor.
Anchor on a battleship. And it basically saves them from a submarine attack, a plane attack, underwater frogmen, everything.
What was the last one we read? Was it like a knife or something or a gun? I don't remember what it was.
But that's exactly what I thought about.
Oh, there's that one with a tire. I remember that one.
Yeah. Oh!
Wasn't there one with a tire?
Like yeah.
That was great. I think there was a knife one, too. This is like a common...
A theme.
I think as we read this, we're going to see themes, repeating themes throughout the whole thing.
The ski one was interesting because it was like his brother was like an Olympic skier, and he was always admiring his brother. And he gives him these medal of silver skis that he's supposed to wear on him, and he loses it during his battle.
Yeah, for good luck
so
or whatever.
He spends the whole time blowing up enemies, looking for the damn pin. And they finally find it, but it wasn't him that found it. They basically hand it to him.
Well, didn't he like go back to base?
Yeah, he went back to base.
Said, hey, we found.
He says you're
going
to get a medal, but in the meantime, we'll give you this thing we found, the silver skis.
And wasn't his brother like his brother?
Big
brother finally got into the war.
Yeah.
And he found it.
The Rock Sergeant I thought was going to be like a Sergeant Rock prototype, but then I was like, he was just called a Rock for something else.
I know, I was like, the Rock Sergeant? Oh, yeah. This is Sergeant Rock? But nope, it's just...
That was an interesting story in that it was a sergeant that wanted to see Battlefield because he sends all these kids off to war, and all he does is train them in boot camp, and he's like, well...
He's pissed off.
Well, I mean, he's probably pissed off for... There's kids he sends off to die, and he... he doesn't.
I think
he
wants
to see battle too. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think he's like, yeah, he said, like, I'm sending these kids off to battle, and I'm not even, and I'm sitting here back at home.
Yeah, and he said, he even tells his commander, hey, I wanna go fight, and he's like, no, you're of more value to us here, training these soldiers than you are over there. And then some soldiers come back and essentially say, all your lessons about fighting saved our lives. And when things looked really bad.
Yeah, because they show them like in battle, and they're like remembering things that the trainer sergeant told them.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you can, you know, use their weapons. If you don't have a weapon, use their weapons against them and stuff like that. Then they come back and they're like, "Man, we used all the stuff you taught us, and that's the only reason we lived."
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a nice little emotional one.
Yeah, I watched a lot of, like you said, a lot of war movies.
Tank movies, yeah.
Let me go to IMDb and I can tell you what they are. Oh no. Are you there? Hello? What is happening? Oh, I just lost internet. Stop. Hello? Are you there?
Sorry, I was muted. Hello.
So I lost internet, and then, like I was telling you, I had to wait for the encoding, and it lasts a long time. I'm like talking, like the other laptop has got a solid state, you know, hard drive.
Yeah,
and it literally is like seconds. Like you can count to one, and it's done. And in this one, it's like several minutes to encode it.
Yeah, mine's not that bad. It takes, I don't know, 15 seconds or something.
I just got to go to Best Buy and get something. Like, that's all I have to do. I just do it.
You know, it's almost like we work in the industry.
Yeah.
And should know how to handle this stuff.
It's weird because I, like, technically get, like, new laptops and new computers and at work. I guess I just don't feel like I need it for home. And well, I've always been the type, I grew up in an environment with my dad and my mom who didn't have a lot of money that would try to make things last as long as possible. And somehow
use it until it breaks.
Yeah. And somehow I got that, like I'll with washers and dryers. I never buy an appliance or anything until it like goes out.
Yeah.
And
no, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, if the computer works and, you know, you have to wait a couple minutes for the encoding to complete, then who cares? Just wait a couple minutes for the encoding to complete.
I mean, I do want to get off of it before the, I think it's October deadline or.
Oh, until you don't get security updates anymore.
Security updates anymore.
Yeah, that's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
So, can't have that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just got to go do it. And then I asked the guy, Pete Bickford, the guy, Debate-Based guy, to give me specs on the laptop that will make my, the thing I care about most is my comic database. I want to make it like the most efficient thing, and it's like anything's better than what I got, you know. But I want like all the storage, because it stores all your photos, like all the images of every fucking cover on your laptop, and I want something that's, you know, terabytes. Because I want every cover, even the covers that I don't own, because the philosophy is, you know, you only keep covers of the stuff you own, but no, I want everything.
The philosophy is you'll own everything one day, so.
Someday I'll own everything.
So you'll need the covers. That's funny.
But anyway, I watched The Tiger, which was about German tiger crew, four members. It was fucking phenomenal. And it's got like a supernatural twist to it, but they were fighting like the Russians. A lot of Russian stuff that's on Amazon Prime. The next one I watched is T-34. This was fucking so good. A T-34 is a Russian tank, and it's kind of like equivalent to the Tiger and the Sherman in the fact that they're probably their most popular tank for the Russian in the fact of speed and versatility and stuff, but they're not the most armored. Like they have other tanks for that. But for cold weather and like all-purpose terrain and everything, they're like the most efficient tanks. But this is about a tank crew, a young Russian tank crew guy that basically says you have a tank crew and you have one tank and you have to fend off six tanks in the small town. And this crew does it, but he forms an enemy with this German guy who's driving a Tiger tank, and he kills all the other tank drivers except for this guy, and they actually get in like a gunfight, and he gets shot, and then he's taken to a concentration camp, and he says, "You're gonna train my tank drivers, and you're gonna be an enemy, so you get to fix up another T-34 tank." And fight my guys with no shells. Like, we're giving you no shells. So he gives them a T-34, but what they forgot to do is clean the dead bodies out of the tank, and there were like four fucking shells left in the tank. So the guys are like smart. They're like, "Oh wow, we're concentration camp, but maybe we can escape with four shells." And instead of training all these, cadets of German soldiers to kill us with no shells, so they go and bury those shells, and then they retrieve them when they get into their first battle, and they use them to escape, and it's fucking amazing. Like there's this Russian woman that's the translator, and the guy falls in love with her, and that's how they get him to actually take the job because he's like, "You won't get me to do anything to help you guys, You kill me." And he goes, "Well, what if I kill her?" And they're like, "You can't kill her. She's your translator." And he's like, "No, I'm gonna." He puts a gun to her head and said, "I'm gonna kill her if you don't agree to do it." So he agrees to do it, but later on, sort of falls in love with this translator and sort of turns into a love story. It's really good. So I'd highly recommend T-34. And then there's another Russian one called The Red Ghost. And it's about a supernatural fighter that kills Nazi soldiers, but it's really not supernatural. It's just some badass dude that is really good at sniping and killing Germans. And that is fantastic as well. So I saw a lot of good movies. I saw Send Help at the theaters. That is fantastic. I don't know if you saw the preview for it, but it's a
Which
really
one is
good
that? I'll look it up on IMDb. So, what is it? Send help?
Send help, yeah.
No, I don't think I saw this one.
Rachel McAdams, but I think is the actress. But the premise of that, she works for a company and
Oh, I did see a trailer for this
yeah,
one.
she
Yeah,
runs the
I
she
remember
pretty
this
much
one.
runs the company, but the son takes over and treats her like shit. And then they get in a plane crash and they're on the island together, and it's really good.
Yeah, and
I
they still
highly recommend it.
survive. Yeah, that one looked pretty good.
I saw Hamburger Hill for the first time. This is a Vietnam movie, 1987. Yeah, that was
I
de
don't know if I've seen that.
that's depressing as fuck, man. It's on Amazon Prime.
I should watch that.
This movie is different than the other Vietnam movies. I mean, they're all goddamn depressing, but
Oh, it's already on my watch list.
they have so many actors in this movie that are big, like that you've heard of, and there's so many characters, But the plot is really simple. It's about two guys that reenlisted. You know, they're kind of like the sergeants of their commands. They reenlisted because they went back home and they were treated like absolute shit. Like, they treated their families like shit. Like, they were attacked. They go, I might as well go back and fight because my life here is not good. And they go back and have to take this heel, and it's like one of those things, the game of inches. Yeah. And there's a lot of death. There's like a horrible scene, like, where we kill our own guys by accident just because they're not fucking, like, listening to the coordinates right, or I don't know what happens.
Miscommunication, yeah.
Well, they're supposed to bomb the Viet Cong, and they end up bombing their own guys and killing, like, 40 soldiers. It was terrible. But it's a brutal movie, and it's based on a true story of a hill, you know, trying to take a hill in Vietnam. And
I've always heard of that movie. It's been around for a long time, but I don't think I've ever watched it, so I should check it out.
I think the Vietnam movies are harder for me to watch just because of the way soldiers are depicted and how they're treated. Whereas you go into the World Wars and they're treated like heroes when they come back.
Yeah.
And you come back from Vietnam and you're
yeah,
society looks down upon you. And it's like, these guys didn't want to fucking go to war. They were fucking drafted. Yeah, they had no fucking choice.
It's not the soldiers' fault. Man.
Yeah, it's not their fault. You know, it's harder for me to watch movies in Vietnam than it is for World War II movies and tanks and stuff and see these battles.
But yeah, I like them just because it must be the setting, like the jungle, it's just like adds a level of craziness.
It adds level of craziness, but it adds me a level of frustration because it seems, at least the movies that I'm seeing, is they're often just shooting at nothing. Like, they know the enemy's in front of them,
yeah,
but they're just like,
I don't know where
they're just, they don't know, they can't see them, and they're just fucking like laying bullets everywhere.
Yeah.
And then waiting for the planes to come by and sort of like make them visible again. It's fucking nasty. And most of these Viet Cong, they're underground. So like when they go and bomb them, they know to go underground, and they don't know where they are. They're not hitting them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
If anything, they're caving in a tunnel, but
there's those tunnels had millions of exits. So.
Yeah.
Hey, for T-34, did you watch the regular version or the director's cut?
I watched the director's cut.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do. 26 minutes of additional content. That's a lot of extra minutes.
you know what'll blow you away about T-34 and the Tiger? Is the cinematography is fucking amazing. Like when they show these fucking shells going through the tank and stuff in slow motion, it looks fucking incredible. Like it is, holy shit. I'm just amazed.
Yeah.
And the more I learn about tanks and the more I study them, I'm just fascinated by them because they all know, like, a tank crew knows how to do almost everything in a tank, but they're not the specialist of their area. They have their specialties. And those guys that specialize in loading the gun and firing the machine gun, or, you know, like navigating or driving the tank drivers, they're fucking phenomenal. I mean, it's just incredible how they can do shit. And they, like, know when they're in trouble. Like, these guys see a tank and they're like, that fucking thing, our shells won't penetrate it, so we have to attack it from the back. You know what I mean? Like, they know that hitting it in the front is not going to do shit to these slower armored tanks. It's amazing. Like, it's incredible. And the acting is incredible. It is like those two movies, they got really good actors to do it. I think that one is in one of the movies is subtitled. Like you have to watch, you don't have a choice of a dub.
Ah, perfect.
So like you have to watch the.
So you had to watch it the correct way.
It's fucking weird because it dubs over, like, I can't remember if it dubs over the Germans or the Russians, but there's one language like you have to read, and I can't remember which one it is, but
yeah,
it's probably done for effect too, just because if you don't know what the other guy is saying, you know, it's right. Like you're experiencing it through their eyes,
right?
So yeah, that's so good. And then I watched Outlaw Josie Wales showed up on AMC Plus, and I went on that Clint Eastwood Western stuff, and it's my favorite. It's my favorite Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
And I saw it for like the 10th time just to rewatch it because it's been gone from streaming for so long, and it was there, and I was like, I have to watch it. I just love that movie so much.
well, you can.
Well, Clint Eastwood is such. He's so. I can't name another. Like, yeah, there's John Wayne and all that stuff, but I can't name another iconic Western figure that's is so cinematic as him. Like. Just the way he walks, the way he rides, the way he does everything is just so fucking badass. Like, it just...
Yeah.
His eyes, like, are just amazing. Like, in a gunfight, like...
His eyes are amazing.
They are. They're incredible. Yeah, And then we finished.
That's right. We have a title for this episode now. Mike loves Clint Eastwood's eyes.
Clint Eastwood's eyes. we finished Tulsa King season 3. I think it was season 3. And that show, you know how I feel about Taylor Sheridan. He's just.
Yep, he's your favorite.
He's my favorite. Like, it's the only shows that, like, I could be sleepy as fuck and I make it through. Like, I'm like, Barb, can we watch at least the first 10 minutes before I pass out? Because he leaves you on a cliffhanger every fucking time. And I'm like, I just need to watch the first 10 minutes and then I can go to bed.
Just a taste.
Yeah, just a taste. I got to see what happens. And now we're watching Landman season 2. So another Taylor Sheridan.
Okay, one of his, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Barb put in our queue next to go to Spartacus, which is a prequel to the Stars show. So okay. We'll be watching that.
Yeah.
And I saw a movie I didn't like, which is incredible.
Oh yeah, I forgot I was gonna ask you about that. It was the lowest rating I think I've seen you ever give for a movie.
Well, Ishtar is up there and The Witch and there's a couple of movies. The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. Anything Keith Knudsen picked was pretty much up there. Your Antichrist was pretty much up there. But
until the end.
Okay, yeah. Okay. For Iron Lung, let me just explain to you.
What is this?
I wanted to leave the movie. It was that bad to me. Like, I'm like, why am I here? There's so many young people there, and I'm like, okay, I knew it was based on a video game.
Okay.
And I knew
what's it called?
Iron Lung. And I knew it was a financial success because it only took $3 million to make. And it was made by a YouTuber that became so popular. And he's already made like 6 times the amount that it took to make the movie. So I was like very curious. And I'm like, the premise? Oh, Bill, it has everything in the premise that you love. They have something called the early rapture. And, okay, you know how I feel about the rapture, right? You know, Strange Girl, anything with the rapture and religion. I'm like, fuck yeah, I got to see it. And then it's like, oh, it's got a submarine for survival. Oh, that sounds like fucking awesome. In post-apocalyptic times when there's humanity's dying and, oh, shit, this sounds like something I would really like. But and I went to the movie, and it's about a guy in a submarine the whole fucking 2.5 hours or whatever it is, and you still don't know what the fucking, like, I didn't even know they were on some kind of planet. Like, I thought they were on Earth, and I'm like, well, why is there fucking blood on the side of this sub? Like, why is it leaking blood? Well, they were on some kind of, like, blood moon, and I didn't even fucking have a clue.
So is it that if you had played the game, you would have understood, like, where this takes place in the world? And if you hadn't, then you're just
like, but lost. I don't even understand the ending. So I thought, well, yeah, I'll understand what this creature or whatever they're fucking seeing
it's gonna
be like Antichrist, because Antichrist did pay off. As much as I hated it, it was worth staying to the movie to see the last 10 minutes.
Right, right.
Just because that had some kind of payoff in my mind, and I was like, "Well, Iron Lung is gonna have the same thing," but no, it didn't. I even was more fucking confused.
So you're waiting. You're like, "Come on, so when, like, when is the Batshit Crazy
sitting,
stuff?"
I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the audience, and the fucking theater was full. Like, there was there was very few seats available, and I'm looking at the audience, and I'm like, "Okay, I see people here, and they're all in their." They're like 25 to 35. Like, there's nobody older.
Yeah.
And I turn to the young kids next to me who they're in their 20s. And they were like, this fucking movie's awesome. And I'm like, what the fuck is, like, what am I not seeing? And I turn and just ask as the movie's playing the credits. And I'm like, oh, what is the game like? Like I don't get, like, how a game would be entertaining by watching this movie. Like, and they go, did you play the game? And they said, no, but we watched the YouTube videos of people playing the game. And you know how I feel about that. I'm like, no fucking way, I'm in hell. And I asked another group too, and they didn't play the game either. They fucking watched the YouTube videos of people playing the game. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, what kind of world am I in where people don't even play games anymore? They watch people play the games. And that's my pet peeve. Like, I understand it's a big thing on YouTube, and I understand it's a generational thing, but I hate that.
I've actually started watching someone who plays video games.
I fucking hate that, Bill. I fucking hate it, because it's like, well, play the fucking game. Go buy it and play the game.
Yeah.
And I can see watching somebody play the game so you can learn how to get past the stage, or you learn a trick, or but there are people that just watch people play games. They don't even have any interest in playing the game. What the hell?
I can explain it if you want.
You can't explain it to me, because when I was sitting by an Atari and my friends were playing the ColecoVision or anything, I was like, when's my turn? When do I get to play?
Well,
I didn't sit there.
That's a big difference between those two scenarios.
No, there's not.
So I watch a guy who plays Trackmania, which is a racing game, and they make maps in Trackmania that are like... almost impossible to play. You have to do all these weird tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
So the people who people watch play are people who play these games for 8 hours a day on their streams every single day. So they're like the best players at these games in the world. And it's fun to watch people who are that good at something do stuff that no one else can do. And to see how good they are at doing stuff. It's like watching an expert do something.
And they make money off of it, too.
Yeah. So from that perspective, I get it. Because I like watching this guy play. Because it's entertaining. It's interesting to see that, like, how good some people are at doing things. Where the average person... So I think it's different than watching your friends. Because you watch your friends play, and it's like, yeah, I can play I can do the same thing that my friends are doing. It's not fun to watch. But if you watch someone who's, like, really, really good at something... Then it's just like, I guess it's like watching sports, right? it's like, why should I watch baseball? I can play baseball with my friends. But it's like, it's because when you're watching professional baseball, you're seeing people who are really fucking good at playing baseball. Like, they're the best.
I guess I just can't do it for a game. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't. It's something I'll never get.
Right. Unless there was a game that, for some reason, caught your interest and you wanted to see people play it really well.
Well, I mean, I do like sports games, and if I could watch somebody play with the Buffalo Bills or somebody and just learn like some play patterns that are good for that, I could see myself doing it, but then I would take that knowledge
and apply it.
I wouldn't not want to watch it just to watch it.
Yeah. But, and I think the other thing is, like, the guy I watch, the other reason I watch it is because, I mean, I don't watch the streams. I just watch the YouTube summaries or whatever. I'm not going to sit there and watch 8 hours or whatever. But I like the personality of the person. So it's kind of like listening to a podcast, right? Because as these people are playing the games, they're talking and they're interacting with the chat and stuff, you know. So I think it's both watching the players play and also listening to the person talk. So I think it's like anything where you develop a relationship with the person who's talking, because, you know, like a podcast, like if Rob Liefeld were really good at playing some video game and you're watching him play this video game and he's also talking about things that are interesting to you. Or maybe watching Rob draw, like, why are you watching someone draw? It's like, well, he's telling stories while he's drawing, you know. It's interesting to me. So,
yeah, I just, I don't get it. And I don't think I ever, I don't get a lot of the YouTube stuff. Like, I don't get it.
I mean, that's fair.
I like watching the comic stuff because I like some people I watch because I like the people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That falls under the character. The when you said they're entertaining, they entertain
right.
you, right?
Yeah.
I'll watch that, and then I'll watch. I actually started watching a YouTube video saying, explain Iron Lung to me. Like,
yeah.
Because they were explaining it, but like, I, even with them explaining it, because they were digging into like what the mystery is of the game and why it's so good, like, to watch the film.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie you need to understand the lore of the game to even appreciate the movie at all.
I think you do, because they don't explain anything. It's you have a speaker of some human on the other end talking to some guy on the submarine, telling him to do stuff, and go down to certain depths and take photos of stuff. And you're like trying to solve a mystery, and I fucking hate those games. Like, there's yeah. zero action, and you're trying to solve a puzzle. Like, it's why I've always hated
like that. Yeah.
Raiders of, you know, I was playing Atari Raiders of the Lost Ark or E.T. I fucking hated those games. Like, you were fucking in a room, and you got to figure out how to get out of the room. That's what this fucking movie is. It's about a guy trying to get out of a sub, a convict.
Yeah,
he's a prisoner, and for the life of me, I was like, why didn't I pick Dracula? Because they re-released a Dracula movie, and I was like, I could have picked that movie.
You're sitting there looking around like, why am I the oldest person in this theater?
Well, I was curious for a couple things. I knew it was a blockbuster hit, and I knew it was very low budget, and I think I just lost connectivity again. Are you there?
Yeah, you're back. Yeah.
Oh, that was weird.
Did you hear what
weird.
I said about you being old?
Yes. Yes, I heard everything. I just started to hear that. Blink, 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 blink,
yeah,
I
went
blink,
droop.
Blink. Yeah, it's like bullshit. But I am old. As a matter of fact, being in that theater, even though I go to a lot of younger films, I felt like the oldest man on the planet. Like. Because
people were offering you to, can I help you, sir, and get down the stairs?
No, it was the first movie I went to where I looked around, and like I got the Oz movie and the singing, even though that's not my thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I understood what was happening. I knew the story. I could follow along from a different perspective than those people that have seen the play, obviously. But I was still entertained. This movie, I looked around and I saw people excited and whispering to each other about what was going on. And,
you know,
and I was like, I don't get it. Like, I have never felt so lost.
Yeah.
I almost felt like I was in my Fields and Waves class for the very first class.
You're completely lost.
No, when I first went to that class,
speaking a different language.
Dr. Byatt started speaking, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he was just filling boards of shit. And I was like, oh, I don't get it. Yeah, eventually I figured it out. But I felt like I was in that classroom again. And
that's funny.
Everybody understood what was happening except for me. And it was like the weirdest shit I've ever experienced in like long time.
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking it's kind of parallel to like when you're watching like a DC movie and they have some obscure character come on the screen and you freak out and start getting excited. And there's probably like young people behind you like, why is this guy getting so excited about this weird character that just showed up?
But that's fucking like 1 second, 1 minute.
Yeah,
and, I know. But this is a whole thing fucking where 2.5 hours of it. Like, yeah, it's so like different.
Yeah, 2 hours of them introducing, yeah, something weird from comics that and don't explain it.
So, like, I want to finish the YouTube video just to understand what I didn't what understand.
Yeah.
Because the movie ended and I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Everyone like, cheers and you're like, wait, what? I want a boo.
Yeah, this kid with, like, long hair and a hat, like, a beanie was like, God damn, this blood fucking rocked! You know, like, he's, like, excited as fuck.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
pumped up,
what
man.
The fuck just happened? Like, I don't fucking get it!
Like, is that the end?
I was really waiting for...
Everyone around you high-fiving.
I was really waiting for the Antichrist moment. You know, because then I felt like I got it, right? Like, this puzzle and this... 2 hours of wasting my time actually meant something.
Right, got to pay
I got
off.
Something. Yeah, I got to explain off. What the monster is. I get it. I don't like. I don't even understand what it was. Like I don't even know why humanity died or like why it was in dire straits.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we weren't on fucking Earth until I watched a YouTube fucking video.
All right. Oh, really? You didn't
no.
realize while you're
well, I almost wanted to ask the guys, but I'm glad I didn't. Why is the sub leaking blood? Like, are they ramming creatures as it's going through? Like, I had no fucking clue.
They would have laughed at you.
I didn't know they were in a sea of blood because people were slaughtered.
You're like, this old man just asked me why there's blood coming in sub. Hilarious.
I can see why it's low budget too, because there's only two rooms in the sub. I mean, there's two compartments. Yeah,
to do a movie that cheap, you have to do a contained space movie.
Yeah, and it's all one actor, really. I mean, there's voices on the other end, but one actor's doing the whole fucking thing.
So it's like that movie where Ryan Reynolds was in a coffin.
Yeah, it could be. I didn't see that.
For the whole movie.
You do get a feeling of claustrophobia a little bit, you know, being in under
yeah,
blood
in tight
and
space.
In a tank.
How much of those tank movies are just in the tank itself?
The tiger one, not the white tiger, that's another movie that's out. That's a supernatural one, by the way. The tiger, it was mostly in the tank, like 80.
Okay. That's kind of what I want to see. 80%
in the tank. And that's a new movie. Yeah. That's like a 2025 movie, The Tiger.
Okay.
The A20, whatever the T23 or whatever the fuck it is, that movie was maybe an hour in the tank. But like it's like the first part of the movie's all in the tank. And then you get to the concentration camp, and then there's all that, you know, trying to, hey, we got to fucking escape.
Yeah.
And then they're back in the tank. So
okay. Oh, that's good.
But you get a lot of fucking tank. I mean, you get a lot of tank in both movies. You get a lot of tank.
That's kind of what I want to see. I like to see how they operate in the tank. Cause it's so
the Tiger, like, engineering wise, like, I was fucking blown away that this fucking tank could go underwater. I was.
Yeah.
So they're being chased by a Russian tank that's not a T-34 or whatever, but the one that's super armored. And they're like, fuck, this tank's going to kill us. Like, we're going to fucking die. So the only way we're going to do is beat him by speed, and let's fucking go underwater. And then I went and started Googling and learning about this tank could fucking go underwater for a short period of time and stay under a riverbed. Like, it was,
cool.
It is fucking badass. And it was all like attachments. So you like get out of the tank, and then you have like a bag of compartment of stuff, and you go, you know, you fit the tank so it can go underwater quickly, and then you go underwater.
Can it go in a blood river?
Probably not. I don't think it. I think you could have only an iron lung do that.
Okay.
But you would have I would have loved to see this fucking movie with you, just to see if you got it. Like.
Yeah.
Because I would have been there. What is going on? Like.
That would be fun to watch it with someone else who doesn't know what it is and just be like looking at each other like, what? What the hell is going on?
Because Bill, you know, I read a lot of comic books that are like game related, and I get into them. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I could follow the story. And this one, I literally didn't know what was going on. And I left the movie thinking, what are these? And there was a lot of people in there that were young, and a lot of people that were seeing it by themselves. So like, I wasn't the only person watching a movie by myself. There was a lot of people that didn't go with a big party.
I'll reserve my comments about people playing video games in their basements, Mom's basement.
But it was, I'll tell you one thing. It's so weird because there's a coworker I work with, and she was telling me, you like everything. Like, you can't, I can't listen to you say a movie's good because you like everything. And I was like, no, I don't. And she goes, yes, you do. You like everything. And she goes, well, name some movies that you don't like. And I literally couldn't name anything. But now I could go in and I could start. Well, there was
The Witch.
The Witch, and there was Ishtar. I hated that movie. And there's The Iron Lung that was one of the worst things I've ever watched. And so I have a list of things now I could say.
There you go.
The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And I forgot about that movie title, The Guy That Fucked the Cow, that Keith Knudsen picked. I fucking hated that fucking thing.
Oh, that was an amazing movie.
Oh, Hippie
movie.
Masala. Yeah. Screw that movie.
It's a bunch of draft dodgers going to India. Fucking cows. That's what the movie's about. Man, that guy's wife hated him.
Oh,
that's so good.
She married him to try to get out of there, and he just didn't leave. Like, he stayed there. Fucking loser. Yeah. Did you watch anything as exciting as Iron Lung?
I did not. I don't know if I watched any movies.
I did start finally exercising again, so I'll be watching more.
Yeah, I need to. I'm not back to exercising yet.
I literally couldn't exercise until Saturday of last week. Like, I literally couldn't. I couldn't gain enough oxygen to, like, move at any kind of pace other than laying down without feeling, like, extreme exhaustion.
Oh, yeah, you got hit hard.
And I got some computer glasses, and I got some progressive lenses, and they both work really well. Like, I can see. It's weird because you get used to not being able to see, and then you can see, and it's very bizarre.
It's like getting glasses for the first time.
Like, I'm amazed. I'm wearing my computer glasses right now, and I can see everything beautifully. So, like, if you told me to read a comic with these glasses on, I can do it. I can see the screen. It looks crisper than it's ever looked. And I can see small things. I can see when I lose internet. I can see the message. I don't see blurry. It's pretty nice.
The joys of getting old. Yeah, I like my I don't remember what they call my monovision contacts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can actually pick up a comic now. It's so nice, like shopping for comics, going through long boxes, because I can actually, like, see the numbers.
Oh, my God. I am so taking these glasses to go through short boxes. Like, it's going to be nice. But the thing that I don't like about progressive lenses is I didn't realize that the left and right, they don't feel the prescription at all. Like, there's a little oval on the left and the right side that they don't put any prescription on for whatever reason to train your brain. And because I was a basketball player, I used my peripheral vision a lot. And that's kind of annoying because you get like a fishbowl effect if you start moving your head quickly. That part I don't like. And then I feel I have more eye strain looking down to read something than my eyes feel tired at the end of the day. Cause I'll wear my progressives to work when I really should be swapping out with these computer ones, because I feel really fucking relaxed with these ones.
Yeah, so you should have your regular.
But it is nice because, like, when even driving to work, you know, you have your distance, and then I can see everything on the panel. Like,
the dashboard.
Yeah, and before it was sort of blurry. Like yes, I could still read everything, but it looks kind of like foggy, like blurry. And when I look at it now, it's like crisp. Like, it looks.
Welcome to Geek Brunch. Old, home for old people.
Yeah, the home for old people. Don't go see the Iron Lung.
It's not for us.
It's not for you.
It's for the millennials. It's not for Gen X.
No, I would be curious what you think. I would love for you to watch it.
Yeah.
Because
eventually
You have to experience
it. I'd like to watch it just to see if it's see if it's as bad as
you say. No, experience it.
And I should watch it without doing any research ahead of time, right?
No, I would watch. I think in this case, for me personally, this is just for me. If I had at least watched the game or at least seen what the game is about.
Yeah, I figured out. Yeah, got the
I would
the
have
game,
fucking
yeah.
not went to the movie. Because I know that's the game that I don't like.
Oh, so it's the kind of game
I don't
like.
I don't like to be in a game where I'm trying to figure out a puzzle and it's dark and I'm bumping into walls and I see blurry shit and I have to get pieces of things to put together and solve a puzzle.
Yeah,
like
a puzzle.
I don't fucking like that. Like I hate that.
I don't think I've ever actually
Matter of fact,
played
I,
one of those before.
When we were on our dial-up modems back in the day, and yes, I was still working. Like, I was still here in Colorado working at my job, and I had friends that wanted to play games over the dial-up modem, like Duke Nukem and stuff.
Yeah.
And I would play with them, but man, would I fucking get nauseated, like...
Oh, the 3D,
In certain rooms and the 3D and bumping into walls and it's very dim lit and shit like that. Yeah. Like, I would almost want to puke after I was done. And this movie is very single person, seeing through their eyes, but you see them too. So it's just seeing the same shit over and over again without... like a lot of advancement in like what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's. My wife was even shocked. Like,
oh, your rating?
Well, no. She texted me after, because she had just eaten with my parents back home, and she said, "Well, how was the movie?" And I said, "Oh God, it sucked." I said it was one of the worst things I've ever seen, and she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry," because her coworker loved it, but he's like 20 fucking 3 or something like that.
Yeah,
24, and I'm like, I just didn't think I would not get it. Like, it's so bizarre. I've never been.
Does it feel weird to be like? You know, you're the age of oldness where you're out of touch with a certain generation now. Like, you've gotten to the point where you're the old man who doesn't understand the younger generation.
Yes,
what they're into.
Well, I think it feels. I don't know how to describe it. It's surreal in the fact that I get most things. Like, I get things my nephews into and stuff like that, and I can follow the plots and stuff, but I felt so, and I consider myself experienced in stories. Like, I've read all kinds of fucking stories in my life and experienced so many comics and movies, and I literally didn't get it. Like, I didn't get it, Bill. It was I think it was so fucking frustrating. I'm still fucking frustrated. Like, I don't get it. Like, it's kind of frustrating to see, I hate to say this, but like, somebody enjoying something so much and you just don't see any aspect of it. Like, I can sometimes put myself in a kid's eyes and say, oh, I get why that cartoon's funny to them, or but to not get it at all, like, it's intimidating. It's not good. I've never had that happen before. Like, even the other movies that you said I don't like, I can tell you about them, and I understood them. This one I didn't understand. I didn't even know. I didn't even understand the premise. Like,
that's just bad storytelling, in my opinion.
In a just a short, what it is they send this.
I guess it's
They send a convict down in this like iron lung, which is like a submarine, right? It's got real primitive controls. It's really bizarre controls. Like, it's not like a modern submarine. It looks like something out of the 40s. But he's doing these controls, and they say, go down there and take these pictures. So all you have to do is hit the button and film this stuff. And you see, like, skeleton, and then things are moving. And then you come back up and then show them the pictures, and they're like, well, you got to go back down. And we want you to ram that skeleton. And I'm like, what the fuck are they going to ram a skeleton for? And we're going to put this contraption on it, and you're going to ram it, and I guess it's going to get some DNA or something, and you can bring it back up. And then, but he never surfaces again. Like, you don't fucking know what's going on. And there's, like, puzzles in the fucking sub, and it's like somebody that was previously in there wrote some messages, and he's got to solve it. And it's all that. And then all of a sudden, you're in fucking a lake of blood. Like, I don't fucking get it. That's the whole fucking movie. That's 2.5 hours, and that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, it sounds like something I'll be interested in checking out just to see how bad it is. But I'm in no rush.
Oh, if you put The Witch in front of me and you put this, I'd watch The Witch 10 times before I even watched that movie once.
That's crazy.
I'd watch It Star with a smile on my face. I'd watch Cave of Forgotten Dreams on replay.
Watch someone go through a cave
then watch
and finding nothing.
Yes, and finding a handprint. I'd watch that movie 5 times before ever watching The Iron Lung again.
Isn't this handprint amazing? Someone put their hand on the wall and it left a mark.
Well, what amazed me is how much Keith loved this shit. Like,
but I, he was defending it very hard.
But I understand, though. Like, that movie I could follow. Like, I get it. I've never watched a movie in my life or read a book that I didn't get. Like, I couldn't. Like, there's some comics that me and you talk about, and we're, like, trying to figure out, like, what were they trying to say? But we had come to, like, some general consensus. This one I didn't get at all. Like, at all. Like, it was zero. I didn't get nothing.
Got nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Tragic.
But on that note, Barb's going to have some groceries delivered any second now, and I have to go grab them. So.
All right. We can wrap.
We can wrap. I will release the last Geek Brunch. I already cleaned it because, if you remember last episode, we had the big gap because your son called. So I, like, edited that part out, and then I did some cleanup on it. And I got it ready to go. But I had to record a Mike Ems because, man, I had gotten some. I've gotten so fucking lazy. It's weird because I haven't had a lot to say. No, when you have a podcast and you do a solo one and you don't feel like doing it, it's better not to do it. Because if you don't have a lot to say, then it's not worth saying, in my opinion. And usually I have...
Yeah, why are you bothering?
Usually I talk stream of consciousness on that stuff so I can, like, play on it and things I'm thinking about and things I like. And when I don't have nothing, it's very hard. Like, it's, like, hard to even get motivated.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
And this, like, when me and you were talking, I at least get shit out of it. Like, we're talking about it, or we're sharing ideas of what we experienced.
Yeah,
it's very different.
Yeah, they're going to bring up.
Well, even about this Iron Lung, we have a discussion about it, and you're like, "Well, you're explaining to me why people like YouTube videos." And yes, I kind of get it, but I still don't get it.
Not for you, yeah.
it's kind of like why I don't watch sports if it already happened. Like, I can't watch. I can watch a live game, but if you tell me to watch this, record the Super Bowl and watch it later, I just can't do it. It's already happened. I know what the score. I know who won. Or even
what
if
you don't know, though,
then
I
don't care because I know the world knows who won.
It already happened.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can't affect.
I can't.
The
it can't
anyway.
Affect it. Like it's already happened.
Why root for it when it's already happened and. No matter what you do.
And I guess the YouTube things, you know, when you say it like that, it's kind of like if you bought, like, one of those Nintendo magazines that tried to help you through a stage back in the day, right? Or
yeah, that's part of it. I think some people watch, if they're... Because they're like... I mean, even in that case...
The fact that I talked to two people, two different people, that love this movie, and then... Neither one had ever played the game. Like, they watched people play the game, and this has got to be the most boring fucking game I've ever seen on the planet.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Like, I watched the racing game, but at least that's exciting. Like, you know, it's a race car going around a track, so.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, even the Nintendo Power or whatever, when you got to see, like, the secrets of the game, I think even in the cases where you didn't actually play the game, it's cool to see, like, oh, that's cool. Because you're getting to parts of the game that you know you're not good enough to ever get to.
Well,
that's
true, because if you're reading Nintendo Power, yes, you do use some of the codes to get there, and you can figure out how to get past the stage, but there's still, like, 20 more stages you'll never get through. Like, you're just not.
So
you're just not fucking good enough, is what it turns out to be. You can't do the left, right, shift, right, all, you know, all that shit at the right order, at the right time. And
so that's probably another appeal of the videos, is you're gonna see parts of video games that there's no chance in hell you're ever gonna get to. So this is your only way of seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, this whole... But I think I am gonna watch this Iron Lung thing was only half an hour, and it was a guy... I kind of, like, YouTubed it and said, explain to me the Iron Lung movie, because Okay. I don't get it.
Oh, so is like the video game specifically explaining the movie?
Yeah, it's explain
in relation.
Well,
to
Well, I just want to
universe.
I hated it so much, Bill. I want to understand it.
Yeah, but you got to make some. You got to get some value out of it.
Right? It's almost like I'm not the person to hate on things. You know what I mean? And I hated it. It's almost like this weird fascination. There's an episode of Seinfeld, and this woman hates George so much that he falls in love with her. Like, he's like,
I can't stop thinking about
it. Yeah, he basically
hates me so much.
Well, he has a girl that wants to sleep with him, and he's like, he can't stop talking about the other girl. And she tells him, that girl hates you so much, and I want to be with you. Why do you want to be with her? And he goes, that woman hates me so much that I think I'm falling in love with her. Well, in this case, I guess I hated the movie so much.
I hated the movie so much.
I want to understand why.
I want to make love to it.
I want to fuck that movie. But
right. I see it as you've already spent, you know, 3 hours of your life.
I can do another half hour. Like, just
it's like, yeah,
trying
to get the value out of it. Yeah.
Well, what I'm hoping I get is at least some understanding of.
You're hoping you get an aha moment where you're like, oh, I get it.
Well, more so to understand like the premise, maybe a little bit more, and then to understand, and I already do by watching the first 5 minutes, because they told me I wasn't even on Earth and I was on a fucking on a moon, okay, of another planet that has a sea of blood, an ocean of blood.
Yes.
So like I kind of now at least I know where I'm at. And then before I didn't even know where I was at. So I just want to figure out stuff like that. And if I could understand at the ending, like what happened? Like what just happened? Like I still don't know what happened. Then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been listening to Geek Brunch, the Iron Lug episode, and the Old Man episode where I can't see, I can't hear anymore, and I don't understand a goddamn thing.
You don't understand these millennial movies.
Get off of my lawn episode. That's right.
What do we enjoy most? Comic books from the 50s.
Yes. At least I understand those.
In a comic book that's been coming out since the early 90s.
You know what? If there's an Iron Lung comic, I'm going to get it just for spite. Like, I'm going to get it just to break that shit down. Because it's almost it's interesting to get something you love as much as something you hate so much. this has been Geek Brunch, and you can find us at Geek Brunch. Sorry. You can find us at DCNoisePodcast.com
for now.
And we'll figure out what we're doing. We're on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast or DC Noise Podcast. And we're on Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch or at DBM00. And I'm also on X with the same account. And that like wraps up this episode. I have to splice two pieces together because of my ratty internet service.
Something that's your fault. So.
Yeah, that's something I can't control. That's the Verizon wireless that decides to. It doesn't happen all the time. It's so weird. It's almost like it happens every Sunday, and that's the only time I see it. But I don't have a lot of outages during the week. It's so bizarre. I don't know how that, like, visual or, like, if you're in sight of satellites or watchtower or whatever, but sometimes lose it. But I will talk to you in 2 weeks, Bill. I hope you feel better.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.